like to read the vision in your hearing.
The first is one which has already been referred to tonight in the 16th chapter of the first book of Samuel. It is, of course, the occasion when Samuel came to the house of Jesse. I read from the 6th verse. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." The 22nd chapter. Just 2 verses. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And lastly, in the 45th Psalm, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and with thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen, in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." Beloved, what a wonderful subject this is. Could anyone conceive of any greater privilege than speaking of the glories and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ? And as we have turned to think a little of David tonight, it isn't because it's David. Like every Old Testament character, he just wouldn't be there at all if it wasn't that Jesus was the one in view. There would be no Old Testament. There would be no Old Testament characters. But oh, dear friends, we're confronted tonight by the most glorious, wonderful story. Oh, that it might grip every heart. And tonight, with all my heart, I would like to say to the young people especially, God grant that you might be gripped by the power of His Spirit, by the wonder of this wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. We began to think of the day when Samuel came to the house of Jesse. Why was this? Why was it necessary? Men had chosen a king. Because their king was a failure. All the desires and thoughts of men are failures. But thank God he had a man in view. A man after his own heart. And isn't this a great and wonderful thing? When every other man down the history of men has paled into insignificance and is of no importance. Saul was a man, great big man, head and shoulders above the people. But in the sight of God, he was of no importance. But God had this man in view, supremely important, because he was his man. And because he spoke of the one who's soon going to fill the universe. Dear friends, this choice in the house of Jesse was a vital one. And as Samuel or Jesse's sons come before him, he must have thought, ooh, this is a fine fellow. Surely he'll be the right one. But God had to tell Samuel, do not to look on the outward appearance. He may have a very fine physique. He may look an excellent kind of person, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And oh, dear friends, there was one, only one, who stepped from the heights of glory into this world and could say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. One alone who trod this world with every thought, every work, every action in full obedience, and indeed more than this, in full delight of his Father God. Oh, how wonderful to be able to see the glories of this blessed man. We spoke of what happened at Ephesdamon, when in the valley of Elah, Goliath had come out to defy the armies of Israel. Was there any hope? Could anything be done? Why, this man was enough to strike terror, as we've been hearing, into every heart. And there were the Philistines on one hill, and the Israelites on the other hill, and this valley between. And into this valley comes this great champion of the Philistines. Was there any who could meet him? Yes, there's one. Just one. God's man was there. At the right moment, at the right time, and able with a sling and a stone to destroy the Philistine. Beloved, for long centuries the devil wielded before men death. Death. Oh, what an enemy. How impossible to do anything about it. Was there anyone in the universe of God who could come in to destroy him who had the power of death? Yes, there's one. Only one. And he stepped from the heights of glory to do it. If tonight we are free, and thank God we are, free from that awful terror which weighed upon men down the centuries and still weighs upon the world around us. Thank God it is because this mighty conqueror has stepped into the very place of death and smashed its power forevermore. Oh, how great and how glorious a person Jesus is. And beloved, as you look to that scene in the Valley of Elah, what happened? Immediately, Goliath had fallen. The Philistines were chased by the children of Israel. In freedom, completely free. And God's people are free tonight. Thank God they are. How great the glory of the victor over death and hell and the grave. But David, as we have heard, went out and was like a partridge upon the mountains. He was chased hither and thither. There wasn't any place for him. Saul trying hard to catch him, to put him to death. And yet he was going about dependent upon God. Before he came to the throne, it was necessary for him to go that way, a way of dependence, a way of suffering, a way of rejection. Oh, we do not need to remind one another, beloved, do we? That the one whom God has in view to reign, and who is going to reign, had a pathway of rejection. Had a pathway of suffering, had a pathway when he was despised and rejected of men. How wonderful a pathway. In that time, just as David was attracting to himself in the cave, one and another, a queer lot they were perhaps, those who were discontented, those who are in distress, those who are in debt, every kind of trouble brought men to David in the cave. Beloved, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ is the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And how precious it is to see, as we look through the gospel story, one, a leper, coming to him. A woman, maybe with an issue of blood, coming to him. 12 years she suffered at the hands of physicians and was no better, but rather grew worse. But Jesus was the answer to her needs. And from that time down all the centuries, those of us who have known what it was to be in distress and in trouble and in difficulty of any sort and every sort, we've come to Jesus, have we not? And found in him the infinitely blessed answer to all our needs. Dear young people, may I say to you, from the bottom of my heart tonight, you'll never find another answer to your needs. Jesus is the only one. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. He's the attractive point. Thou didst attract, we sometimes think, the wretched and the weak, thy joy, the wanderers and the lost to seek. Oh, that something of the greatness, something of the attractiveness of the Savior might be before our gaze, beloved. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the chiefest among 10,000. There's nobody like him. David didn't die for anyone. Beloved young people, the Savior died, gave his precious life for you, gave himself on Calvary's awful tree because he loved you and loves you. But nevertheless, the time of rejection, the time of suffering for David had an end. There came the time of glory. There came the time when he was made king by all Israel. What a wonderful moment this was, first in Hebron and then, of course, in Jerusalem. The mighty kingdom of David was founded. And from Zion's hill, there went out commands which extended as far as the river Euphrates. Never, I think it's true to say that never in human history, except in the reigns of David and Solomon, has that been true. But it's going to be true, aye, far beyond the Euphrates, beloved, far beyond the bounds of any river, from the river to the end of the earth, from sea to sea, Jesus is going to be supreme. All kings shall bow down before him, all nations shall serve him. You remember that it was said that his enemies would become his footstool. Do I need to remind you of what happened under David when he became king? Every one of his enemies was put down. I don't know if I could remember the list of them, but first in the list was the Philistines, Moab, Ammon, Amalek, Edom, Hadadezer, king of Hobah. There were seven of them, I think. But anyway, the whole lot of them, every one tried to come against David, they were smashed, the lot of them. And there was a man. Yes, there was even a man who decided that he would submit to David without any battle at all. He recognized in him the one who had the title. Beloved, every single enemy is going to be put down before Jesus reigns. He's going to reign supreme. And all the wonderful privilege of his kingdom is going to be extended wherever man is found. He shall judge the poor with equity. We were talking a little this morning about the fact that the poor have been misjudged in this world's history, haven't they? You can't think of a reign or a nation where the poor have been judged with equity. He's going to judge them with equity. If you get depressed sometime, I would like to suggest to you that you read Psalm 72, because it describes what's going to happen in that glad and glorious day when Jesus is supreme in this world. And it finishes up like this: the prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. David had a wonderful lot of things on his mind and heart as to what he wanted, but oh, they can only be completed, they can only be fulfilled in the one glorious person who is great, David's greatest son. And that throne, you know, is not going to be finished. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's the only one who has a title to reign. He's the only one who's going to do so. And beloved, God has it in his hand and has his man in view. And it's the man of Calvary. It's the lamb as it had been slain. Israel's Messiah, the one who has the title to the throne of David, but the one who has the title to be supreme in the whole universe of God. Why do we speak of all these things tonight? Beloved, how great the privilege of speaking of the glories of Jesus. We could indeed stay here and speak of them continuously, could we not? His glories are beyond understanding. Because if we think this week, we have been thinking many, many facets of his glory under the types of the Old Testament. Wonderful things have been brought out to us, pictures of Jesus. There's this picture, there's that picture, there's the other picture. But put all the pictures together, my dear friend, and you've still got an inadequate answer. There is no picture which can describe the greatness of this blessed person. Young man, young woman here tonight, older man, older woman here tonight. This is the one whom God wants you to give your allegiance to. At the moment he's rejected. At the moment he's refused by this world. The time of his kingship, the time of his glory is not yet here. You know, I don't know whether anyone ever went out from the cave of Adullam to try and recruit people to go into that cave. I've no idea whether they did or didn't. But I know this, that everyone who really knows the joy of being under this great captain would from his or her heart plead with you that you would come with us. There's no other captain worth serving. And you know, although you may be laughed at here, although in the world you be derided, dear friend, dear young person, just take that onward look to the future. Just take that backward look to the past. Just take that upward look and see how attractive and glorious and wonderful he is. You can't stay away from Jesus. He loves you. He loves you in a way that no one else can ever love you. And he wants you. He wants the whole of that life of yours for himself. You know, when David came to his throne, those men from Adullam's cave were there in the position of honor with him. What a privilege to be with David. There's coming a day when Jesus comes to take his throne. You look forward to that day of being there with him. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful person. There was a man of the house of Saul, his great enemy. Remember? One man left of Saul's house. Well, surely David will get rid of him. No. Brought in he was to sit and to eat at the king's table. The grace and kindness of this blessed person. But oh, the grace and kindness of David is as nothing compared with the grace and kindness of the one who won our hearts. Beloved, every one of us would be on our way to destruction now. We were in the grip and power of the enemy of our souls, and we belonged to the very race that had gone away from God and hated God. But grace has brought us into his presence. And grace is going to have us to sit down with him in the courts of glory throughout an eternal day yet to be. Dear friend, do you want to know this blessed person? Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to come? You may know him, already, and yet have never really made him supreme in that life of yours. I don't know what kind of thoughts have been going through your heart during this week. Could be that there's someone here being faced with some particular sin, being faced with a burden of continual failure in their Christian life. Perhaps there's someone here who once trusted the Lord Jesus, still trusts him, but has all got so far away, enmeshed in this poor world which hates it. I don't know what your problem is, but I know that if you have a problem, I know that if you're in distress, I know that if something's troubling you tonight, I have the great privilege of presenting to you the answer to every trouble, the answer to every distress, the glorious, blessed man who alone can fill your heart. Dear friend, will you come? Will you come and join the company? I was going to say in a Dullum's game. No, the company that belongs to Jesus. He's calling you to himself tonight. There was a man who came to that cave. His name was Amasai, if you remember. He came, and David said, "We're not sure about you. What's the position with regard to you? You come to betray us." Do you know what the answer was? All that this answer might come from every heart in our company here tonight. "Thine we are, David, and I sigh, thou son of Jesse. Are you prepared to take that place? May God grant that you will."